new cyber war of a kind writ small. Last week, Wired.com writer Matt Honan lost everything. Hackers deleted his hard drive, iPhone, iPad, hijacked his Gmail, Twitter, and Apple ID accounts. He lost access to 6 years of emails and most of the photos of the first year of his daughter's life. What made the story particularly agonizing was that the hackers were able to break in not because of a mistake Honan made, but because of twin vulnerabilities from two companies many people rely on, Apple and Amazon. Honan actually watched the hack take place, and at first, he didn't know what he was seeing.
So I had gotten home from work a little early. I was playing with my daughter. It was about 5 o'clock, and I noticed my phone went dead. When I went to plug it in, it was in the startup screen, which means that it didn't have anything on it. I thought that my data had just crashed, but I wasn't worried because I had this iCloud account that let me back up my data. But I couldn't log into that, and so I went to my computer to try and back it up from my computer. And when I opened my computer, I could see that my drive was being remotely wiped, and it was asking me for a 4-digit PIN to stop this remote wipe. And I looked at my iPad, and the same thing's happening to my iPad. It had gone to this new startup screen as well, and someone had managed to get into basically all of the electronics I owned and delete all of the data on them at the same time. At that point, I really knew that I was getting hacked and it was going to be bad.
Now, one of the hackers actually got in touch with you pretty quickly to explain how he'd broken in and why.
That's right. I went next door to use my neighbor's computer, and I discovered quickly that they had not only deleted all of my stuff on Apple, but they had deleted my Google account as well, and they had hijacked my Twitter feed. And when I realized that, I set up a second account, and I started messaging them, and they messaged me back. And I agreed that I wouldn't prosecute him if he would tell me how he did it.
First of all, why did he do it?
You would think that this was done to get to a bank account or something like that. He did it just to get to my Twitter feed. I had, you know, 14 or so thousand followers, and I only have a 3-character handle because I signed up a long time ago. My name is @MAT, and that's it.
And that kind of a Twitter name is kind of prestigious, right?
They just wanted that. There was no reason that I ever have able to fully get my head around. You know, it was just mayhem. It was just vandalism.
Was this a kid?
He claims to be 19 years old. I wouldn't be surprised if he was even younger than that. But certainly when I started relating to him, you know, look, you deleted a year and a half of pictures of my hard drive, very many of which are the only ones that I have of my baby daughter, you know, who's just 18 months old. And it was clear that this wasn't something that he had thought of before. And I think it's the kind of thing that someone a little bit older would have thought of.
How did he do it? I think this is crucial because it wasn't really your screw up.
They called Amazon and they gave Amazon a bogus credit card number that would still pass through Amazon's authenticator. Then they hung up. Then they called Amazon back and said that they had lost access to their email and needed to add a new email. And this is on a second phone call. And they gave Amazon the credit card that was on file that they had just given Amazon on the previous phone call to prove they had access to the account.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon then sent them an email to this new address that they had set up that let them go in, look at my account, and find the last 4 digits of a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
What they next did was they called Apple. Apple was only using a few pieces of information to verify your identity. And if you had these 3 pieces, they would issue you a temporary password. If you knew someone's Apple ID, which was my email address, if you knew their billing address, which they are able to look up easily online, and if you know the last 4 digits of a credit card that Apple has on file. So with those pieces of information, the last 4 digits, one of my credit card, my email address, and my physical address, they're able to log into my Apple account. That my Apple account was the backup for my Gmail, so they're able to use that to get to my Google account. And then to kind of cover their tracks to keep me from being able to go in and do anything about it, they deleted all the data on all my devices, which you can do remotely using these Find My Mac, Find My iPhone, Find My iPad services that Apple offers.
Could anybody have done this?
Once we understood how to do this, it was nothing for us at Wired to replicate this. I mean, we weren't deleting people's devices, but we were able to repeatedly and with a complete success rate get into accounts with just those pieces of information.
Apple and Amazon are not a merged company, but one part of one security system leads you to an item that can get you onto the other security system and enable somebody to unlock the door to all of your stuff.
That's correct. And I actually don't think we've seen the last of this. I don't think this is limited to an Apple and Amazon problem. I think that in the coming years, as we see more and more of our data being stored on the web, as you're trusting people to secure it, we're going to see more and more that people are able to get different little bits and pieces from different places, put them together, and used them to really do some damage.
Explain why you think the stories that followed your story about how to protect yourself kind of missed the point.
Well, a lot of them really focused on Google's two-step authentication.
And that's essentially, if you log in from an unfamiliar computer, you have to verify that it's you using your cell phone. You still would have lost a ton of data, though, right?
That's right. Google's two-step authentication wouldn't have prevented my MacBook from being wiped, my data from being destroyed, because that was done on Apple's system. You know, or a lot of people said, okay, well, Amazon has fixed the problem. You can't get four digits of a credit card number from Amazon anymore. But I took a taxi over here to the studio, and I saw the last four digits of my credit card displayed on the taxi. The driver saw it, too. The larger problem is that there aren't multiple levels of authentication for most services that are easy to use, because if they're not easy, people aren't going to use them. I'm sure that a lot of people turning on Google two-step authentication in the wake of this story will be turning it off next month, because it can be a pain. The onus needs to be on Apple and Amazon and Google and Microsoft to make really secure, easy systems.
The Luddites out there are probably feeling a bit smug right now. Kind of makes you feel like going off the grid.
It does. Makes me want to move to the woods and just live off of rainwater.
Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Matt Honan writes for Wired.com. Since his original article appeared, Amazon has announced that it's changed the way it verifies account holders' information. Apple spokesperson Natalie Karas told Wired that the company's, quote, internal policies were not followed completely when handing over Honan's information, and that the company has suspended the ability to reset Apple ID passwords over the phone.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sarah Abdurrahman, and Chris Neary, with more help from Amy DePiro and Eliza Novick-Smith. Amy and Eliza, thank you so much for your help this summer. And our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson, and our engineers this week were Andrew Dunn and John DeLore.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.